Welcome to Voices from ASCO, Conversations in Oncology. I'm your host, Kristen Siahian. This podcast series brings you insightful discussions with leaders from across the oncology landscape. Together, we'll explore the latest advancements, challenges, and opportunities shaping cancer care and research today. Let's dive in. In this episode, I'm honored to welcome Mema Carmo. Mema is the founder and CEO of the Tiger Lily Foundation and a 20-year triple-negative breast cancer survivor. She has an incredibly inspiring story of resilience, hope, and purpose. You won't want to miss this powerful conversation.
There's two main things I want to ask you. And the one thing, and you've touched on this a little bit, but we keep hearing over and over again this concept of clinical trials and how critically important it is to get the right care, to get the right people in our trials so that we have the right medicines for all people. Can you just talk a little bit about that journey, what you've learned about clinical trials, how you're educating people that this is not guinea pigs and you're not getting a sugar pill, and just where we are in that momentum?
Well, clinical trials are really what I would call another care option, right? When a patient is on a medication and the medication fails them, that clinical trial could extend or save a life, right? Every medication that we use now, from aspirin, Advil, Excedrin, nasal sprays for allergies, like everything we use was once on a clinical trial. Now they're on the market. So helping a patient understand who's entrusted in the trial that, okay, well, do you ever have headaches or do you ever have a backache? Well, yeah. What do you take? I take this. Well, that was one of the medications someone took in a clinical trial to ensure you have a better quality of life. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay. You know, so it's really like giving people the chance to make things more simplified and like understandable and palatable.
Wow.
And also is people being able to like talk like you and me. So like we do a lot of work in the community where, well, first of all, we train the angel advocates in clinical trials so they understand what they are, how much protections around them now that we don't have to do. What happened with Henrietta Lacks and Tuskegee, those things won't happen. They cannot happen in this current environment, first of all. And then realizing that they have the power to create change that can impact people's lives, that legacy going forward. So
it's a great word, legacy.
We have a campaign called Living Legacy that we did. It was so powerful. We were out in the community going to, we didn't go to like these big things. We went to like, where people's rec centers. We were at hair shows. We were at beauty events. We had brunches. People were just seeing us. We were just hanging out. And then we have a panel about clinical trials. And people were like, oh. And, you know, it just made things much more simple. We did social media around the campaign as well. We had people do videos like going to get their treatment drug, get ready with me while I get my drug. And they got dressed and put on their makeup and they're dancing to a popular TikTok song or Instagram song. And they got in the car, went to get their infusion and went home. And there's nobody like locking them in the room with a needle. So I made the trials, it made clinical trials seem more palatable and accessible. And to be honest, you know, as Black women, we don't have a lot of options when it comes to certain subtypes, right? Even when we have options, they often tend to not benefit us long term. So the more people understand the science that impacts our bodies in a way that's positive, the better our outcomes can be from treatments.
Yeah. Exactly right.
And for people that are metastatic, you know, that I call it them being on a lily pad. You're on a pad right now, and the pad over time will start to sink. And once that pad starts to go underwater, the next pad is a clinical trial. If you can jump over here, then yeah. you're like, okay, I'm safe for now.
I'm safe
and
for
you
now.
Sit, you're like, I'm good. And then so trials are about life and legacy and hope.
You know, I've heard people say, well, it's kind of a last resort. But sometimes I like to say it could not necessarily be a last resort. It could be your first hope.
It could be your first hope. And I'll tell you, I spoke at a conference last year. And I spoke about never being offered a clinical trial. And I talked about that and not having access to one. And how I didn't have treatments because of not having people that were in trials that looked like me in the past.
Right.
So I gave my talk. People, you know, the crowd was like, it was very well received.
Yeah.
But doctor came to me after and said, but you were in a clinical trial. And I was like, I was? She's like, yeah, but it was a study. But we didn't call it a clinical trial. So what it was, when I finished treatment, because when you're done with treatment, they tell you, ring the bell, and then come back in 6 months. And you're like, what? Like, you're overwhelmed, your body's going, this chemicals has been in your body, medications, you're stressed. I was like, I was not responsive to post-treatment, like, just go live your best. I was like, overwhelmed, my adrenal glands were out of control, my body was just not doing things, I couldn't sleep, I wasn't eating. But what it was a study that from City of Hope by Dr. Kimberly Nashingiwa, where they were examining survivorship and what people need to be able to to like breathe after treatment and how to navigate like the fear around what's going to happen to me if I don't get treatment every single week, and how do I deal with every being immersed back into the world. So they would have someone call me every week, a social worker, I'm guessing, and she would say, well, how are you feeling? And she interviewed me, and I'd tell her that she sent me a package, whether it was like essential oils or a journal. There were certain things that were interventions.
Nice.
I had no idea it was a clinical trial. And by the way, that when the trial ended, I actually had put together my own self-care kit. I found a personal trainer. I found a life coach that I paid for out of pocket. I built a whole self-care fitness routine. So that trial actually is how I live my life today. But I didn't know it was a trial. And so trials, and so, and by the way, because of that study and others she's done, people know about survivorship now. It's actually is going to now to the policy realm. People are looking at making it part of the policies to get passed, to get people to have coverage for, you know, acupuncture or massages or things like that. And those things are not like far-fetched anymore, like that quality of life and support getting covered by certain hospital systems or advocacy groups.
Right.
But so I wasn't a clinical trial, but it was
that?
A study, not a
study.
Medication.
That's incredible. So I'm so grateful for your time today, but there's one more question I'd like to ask you. So at this year's ASCO, Dr. Robin Zahn had declared this, the theme for this year is driving knowledge to action, building a better future. Just curious your reaction to that, what advice you have. So whatever anyone's learning here at this conference, how can they implement that on Monday morning when they're back in their own lives, their own practices, their own advocacy groups? What thoughts there?
I will say this conference has been very emotional for me in a way, because this year I just realized, like, I can say I'll be 20 years cancer-free next year.
Amen. That's fantastic.
Like, I remember a day when I didn't know I'd be a year out, or 2 years out, or five, you know? And then so I can say that. But I partook on this journey because I wanted to learn, to be knowledgeable, to be able to make sure that nobody else went through what I went through or had an adverse outcome because of things they didn't know. So just asking questions, being informed, showing up, things that I didn't understand, asking again and again and again. Not being afraid to say, I don't know this. I need to know this. Investing in going to places like ASCO before I even knew what ASCO was, San Antonio Breast. And so, like, I'm such a huge proponent of people asking questions and knowing certain things. And medicine is complicated. The data is complicated. Even we don't understand sometimes. We're all trying to figure this out. So to me, when I leave here, getting people to understand what I've learned in layman's terms and to understand how to come back here and make an impact, whether it's here or in their homes or with partners across the world, is really powerful. I mentioned the words legacy earlier, because whatever you do, whatever you can share, if what you tell one person makes that person change how they behave to a patient or what they ask for in healthcare or discover something innovative and deliver it in a better way for patients, you've done something that's going to transform people's lives that you won't even know. And so I'm a huge fan of, you know, like, I live with wonder. I'm always wondering, like, what about this? What about that? So wonder is, I'm walking around here in awe of all the science and the new things.
I'm staying curious.
I'm learning about all the things, and I'm going to go home, digest them, and make some magic happen for patients' lives.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us today as we amplify the voices making a difference in the fight against cancer on Voices from ASCO, Conversations in Oncology.